Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to another episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewire.news podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that wants to wish you a happy belated Hanukkah. L'chaim. I'm Imani Gandhi.
And I'm Jess Piclo. Rewire.news is dedicated to bringing you the best reproductive rights and social justice news, commentary, and analysis on the web, and the Team Legal podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners.
As a nonprofit, Rewire.news relies on your donations to fund Boom Lawyered, which is totally your favorite podcast, and all of our evidence-based journalism. If you like our show, and we know you like our show because it's literally your favorite podcast, please donate online.
You can support us at rewire.news/donate.
That's rewire.news/donate. So Jess, remember the Planned Parenthood sells baby parts scandal that was sweeping the nation a few years ago?
Ugh, good grief. Yes, that's where a bunch of anti-choice activists like David DeLeiden infiltrated private meetings among abortion providers, recorded them, spliced up all the video, and released versions of those recordings to make it seem like Planned Parenthood was illegally selling fetal tissue. That's what you're talking about, right?
Precisely. That scandal turned out to be total horseshit.
Complete horseshit.
Like, seriously. But it provided the excuse for many states to launch investigations into Planned Parenthood and their supposed nefarious black market baby parts business. Ooh.
I think we always have to go, ooh, when we're talking about this.
No investigation turned up any wrongdoing on Planned Parenthood's part, but that doesn't matter because it provided the opening for several states' attorneys general to try to kick Planned Parenthood out of their state Medicaid programs. Two of those states were Kansas and Louisiana, and today we're going to talk about the lawsuits challenging Louisiana and Kansas's efforts to defund Planned Parenthood, and why Clarence Thomas has a case of the sad that the court refused to take those cases, and why those cases weren't even really about trying to defund Planned Parenthood at all.
Okay, so we have this whole ridiculous scandal from David DeLeiden and Planned Parenthood and fetal tissue, but let's talk about the cases involved, right? Imani, what are they? What are the arguments behind them? Let's get into this.
Alrighty. So the cases are Anderson versus Planned Parenthood of Kansas and Mid-Missouri, and G versus Planned Parenthood of Gulf Coast Incorporated. And while these cases are broadly speaking about state efforts to defund Planned Parenthood, the actual issues in the cases are narrower and more wonky.
And you know I love wonky, right?
You're the wonky queen.
I am the queen of wonk.
Queen,
it is true.
Of the wonk.
The actual issue in these cases is whether providers and beneficiaries can challenge changes to state Medicaid programs.
So in other words, can patients and providers sue states when states make changes to its Medicaid programs, like, for example, kicking Planned Parenthood out of the program because you think that Planned Parenthood is selling baby heads and making smoothies out of toddlers, as my friend Joshua Holland once said.
Toddler smoothies are terrible.
They're not a superfood. That's the thing. You're not going to get a lot of nutrients. You need to add some quinoa.
Oh, okay. Before we get too far off the rails on that, let's talk about what Kansas and Louisiana tried to do here, because they're really amazing and sort of perfect examples of shenanigans at the state level when it comes to Medicaid and Planned Parenthood. So these videos get released, 1,000 investigations get launched, they turn up absolutely nothing. And these states say it doesn't matter because the allegations enough are sufficient to say that Planned Parenthood isn't qualified, and therefore we can just kick them out. No Medicaid money for you.
Right, and the Medicaid statute lays out criteria for determining which providers are qualified and therefore can participate in the Medicaid program. It also says that providers can't be excluded for purely political reasons, which is what this is, right? Like, they can't exclude Planned Parenthood simply because of this baby parts nonsense.
Right. It's not like the reproductive healthcare facilities at issue here were running around committing a bunch of medical malpractice, right? That would make them not qualified. What we had was conservative lawmakers going, baby parts!
Baby parts!
And so that's a political reason. And the Medicaid statute makes it pretty clear that you can't do that. You need something substantial, something with evidence, something that's not like, ooh, ick, I don't like abortion.
Right. And so if the Medicaid statute says that providers can't be excluded for political reasons, then these are pretty open and shut cases, right? Planned Parenthood ought to win these lawsuits handily.
I mean, they should, but also not exactly. And I'm pretty sure you know that because, I mean, on the merits of the cases, on just the straight law, absolutely. But like we know, there's also other motivations and causes going on here, aren't there?
Right, of course. I mean, the bottom line is, anytime anyone mentions the words Planned Parenthood, people lose their goddamn minds.
They really do.
It's bananas. And especially here, given that the impetus for these lawsuits was this nonsense baby parts scandal, people seem to think this case is about defunding Planned Parenthood when it really isn't.
That's right. Like you said earlier, Imani, the states are arguing that the Medicaid statute, which lays out all of the rules for participation in the program, like we said, the states are saying that folks like Planned Parenthood can't do anything about it when conservatives try to defund them. So the question is not whether or not Planned Parenthood can be specifically defunded in these cases. I mean, it is, but it's really more broadly whether or not a Medicaid beneficiary has the right at all to sue for Medicaid benefits.
Well, why wouldn't they? If the states aren't following the law and it's damaging Medicaid beneficiaries, why wouldn't those Medicaid beneficiaries be able to sue?
That's a really good question, and it depends on whether or not the Medicaid statute provides for what we call a private right of action.
Okay, so I know what that means because I went to law school and we've been working together for several years and we're just sort of like same brain.
We are totally same brained.
But I'm sure some of our listeners are thinking to themselves, a private right of what? So can you explain what a private right of action is?
Oh, absolutely. How about we do that after the break?
After the break! So again, the question of whether a Medicaid beneficiary has the right to sue for Medicaid benefits depends on whether the Medicaid statute provides for what we call a private right of action.
Yeah, and so I'll walk through this because, like we said at the top of the show, this is real wonky and
wonky,
but I kind of love this. Like, I thrive in explaining the wonk.
Nerd.
Okay, so... buckle up. All right. So
put on your glasses and push them up above your nose.
I so sincerely wish I had a whiteboard right now. Okay. So broadly speaking, a private right of action is when someone other than the state is able to enforce rights under a statute, right? That's the private part of it. Public is the government, private is an individual or third party. They enforce those rights through a civil lawsuit or an action. Okay, and so private rights of action can be either express or implied. Express private rights of action exists when the statute itself specifically says that, hey, private people, private corporations, you can sue to enforce the law. We don't need you to rely on the state. Okay, so how about I give a very specific example? Because like I said, this is wonky and in the weeds. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, right? That law prohibits employment discrimination on the basis of race, sex, religion, color, national origin, and other factors. And it's a really good example because in the statute, it says that individuals who have been subjected to employment discrimination can either bring their own lawsuits to enforce their Title VII rights, so that's the private right of action, or they can rely on the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission to bring a lawsuit on that individual's behalf. That's a public right. But that is express.
Okay, so that was a lot of words. So let me just try to break that down a little bit. So what you're saying, essentially, is that even if the statute doesn't explicitly say, hey, you, Medicaid beneficiary, you can sue to vindicate your rights under this statute, even if the statute doesn't say that outright, that Medicaid beneficiary still may be able to sue to vindicate their rights.
Right, exactly. And that's what we call an implied right of action. So sometimes courts have read implied rights of action into statutes where Medicaid, again, excellent example here. The purpose of Medicaid is to work with the federal and state government to provide benefits, right? Insurance coverage benefits in this case. And who would sue to enforce that? If you are a beneficiary and your insurance changes and you can no longer see, for example, the provider that you want to see, are you just shit out of luck? The courts have said that's not really in the spirit of the Medicaid statute, and so there should be some way for people to be able to sue to enforce their rights. That is an implied private right of action.
So just to rephrase, because again, wonky nerd, lot of words. So the Medicaid statute doesn't have an express private right of action.
Right.
Because it doesn't say that consumers, Medicaid beneficiaries, can sue for benefits. But despite that fact, courts have said that they can sue for benefits.
Exactly. So the courts find private rights of action when the statute confers sufficient benefits, right? This is the legal phrasing, to justify allowing an individual to sue to enforce it on their own behalf. They don't need to rely on the state in this case. They can sue on their own behalf.
And that's what's happened here. As we said earlier, these two cases stemmed from Kansas and Louisiana's efforts to defund Planned Parenthood after the baby parts nonsense, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is where Kansas sits, and the 5th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is where Louisiana sits, ruled that Planned Parenthood and individual Medicaid recipients could sue to block efforts to remove Planned Parenthood from the Medicaid programs. They found an implied right of action. Both states, Louisiana and Kansas, petitioned the Supreme Court for review, and on Monday, the Supreme Court basically looked at them and said, nope.
Right. And so by saying nope, that leaves in place those decisions that say Planned Parenthood in Kansas and Louisiana, you can sue. The states can't kick you out of these programs, at least at first blush. And by the way, Medicaid still has a private right of action. So why does this matter beyond just Planned Parenthood? Let's use Kentucky and the Trump administration as an example. So both Governor Matt Bevin and the Trump administration want to make Medicaid as difficult to participate in and as politically toxic as possible. And one way they've done that is to impose work requirements on Medicaid recipients. You've probably heard about this. This is terrible.
Yep.
It's horrible, right? But the only way those recipients can object to those changes or to defend their benefits is to sue. So you can see why conservatives really have this in their sights.
Right. And they only win that case if they can show that the changes go against the Medicaid statute, which so far, by the way, they've actually been able to do.
Right. So in these states that have what I like to call conservative capture, where the Republicans basically run the show completely and they want to kill off Medicaid, private rights of action are what prevents that from happening full stop. And after the break, we'll talk about what it means that the Supreme Court decided not to take up these Medicaid cases. And contrary to what Susan Collins may think, it's not because Brett Kavanaugh saved the day.
So earlier this week, the Supreme Court declined to review these cases, leaving the lower court rulings in place. So far, every court but one, the extremely wildly hella, as we say in Oakland, conservative Eighth Circuit, has rebuffed efforts to kick Planned Parenthood out of Medicaid programs. The Eighth Circuit greenlit Arkansas's Planned Parenthood defunding effort. But here's a question that our discerning listeners might be asking. If the Eighth Circuit is letting Arkansas go ahead with its plans to defund Planned Parenthood, doesn't that create a circuit split that SCOTUS should resolve? I mean, that's certainly what Kansas and Louisiana are arguing, right, Jess?
Oh, absolutely.
So basically, these cases can percolate a little bit longer in the lower courts before the United States Supreme Court steps in. That's sort of what Planned Parenthood is arguing.
Right. And so, I mean, yes, we have a circuit split with the Eighth Circuit, and, you know, but they are an outlier. So right now they're sort of like hanging out there in the wind on their own, which could be one reason to explain why the court didn't take up the case. And that's also because there's another case from Ohio that the entire Sixth Circuit, which has also become hella conservative under the Trump administration, they're considering that right now. They haven't issued a ruling yet. But if they rule on behalf of Ohio, we could end up with a deeper circuit split, which then could inspire the court to take up this issue. But I just want to say that it's important that even if the Supreme Court had taken the cases, it wouldn't be ruling on the merits again of these efforts to defund Planned Parenthood. And that's not vindication for Susan Collins' vote to confirm Kavanaugh.
Why would it be? Like, what is Susan Collins' deal?
I think we should have an entire column called What is Susan Collins' Deal?
What is the deal with Susan Collins?
I mean, seriously, it beats me. You would have to ask her. I guess she said she felt vindicated because Kavanaugh voted with Roberts and the liberal wing to not take up these cases to deny cert. And I guess she somehow seems to think that that means Brad McBeer won't ultimately be the deciding vote to upend abortion access in the United States.
I mean, is she for real? Like, I can't tell if Susan Collins is really that naive or if she's just full of crap.
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. I mean, right? Why not both?
The answer is yes. Indeed, the answer is.
And I mean, so, you know, this was kind of Clarence Thomas's point. So Clarence Thomas dissented from the Supreme Court's decision not to take up these cases. He said, you know what, court, you really should. This is a split. This is an area that we need to resolve. And so it's kind of weird because here we are agreeing with him. I mean, he said the reason the court didn't take up the case is because it involved Planned Parenthood and the court was too scared to step into the political muck. And I kind of think he's got a point.
Yeah, and Gorsuch and Alito agreed with him, so Thomas does have a point. And we said that this issue was about more than Planned Parenthood, which is something Thomas also says in his dissent.
This is so weird, all of this agreeing with Thomas, but it really is.
I know, I don't like it. It makes me feel icky.
It does. I mean,
or
I'm already...
Or as you like to say, it makes me feel sweaty.
I'm sweaty and itchy already because of shingles, but this is worse. But these cases are, right? So here we are agreeing with Thomas that these cases are about Planned Parenthood, but they're also not. They're about more than that. It's about this idea of a private right of action under Medicaid. And like we said in the show, this matters for a lot of things beyond Planned Parenthood, not just the Medicaid work requirements and lawsuits, which we talked about quickly. Let me give you another example. Clinics that accept Medicaid and their reimbursement rates, right? So clinics who accept Medicaid patients get reimbursed for seeing those patients. And so one way that conservatives like to muck up Medicaid is to mess with those reimbursement rates. And that is designed to de-incentivize doctors from accepting Medicaid patients. And if you're a Medicaid patient and no one accepts Medicaid, where the hell are you supposed to go, right? So this is one way that conservatives who hate Medicaid and really want to kill it off are trying to. You know, I mean, but when Medicaid is allowed to work, it's a really good public health and welfare program, and everyone wins with a healthy Medicaid program. So Imani, this drives me bonkers.
Well, everyone wins but the Heritage Foundation folks who want poverty to be for profit. And so they're really, really hoping that the court would jump on the outrage over the Planned Parenthood. Oh, Planned Parenthood sells baby parts videos in the efforts to kill off the private right of action, in part because those private rights of action are the final check on state and federal schemes to gut and expand their attacks on the poor. So that's essentially the story of why Clarence Thomas has a case of the sads over the court not taking the Planned Parenthood funding cases.
And so while Monday's decision was a really big deal for folks in Kansas and Louisiana who rely on Medicaid and want to have Planned Parenthood as a provider, if you hear folks running around and crowing that Brett Kavanaugh saved the day for abortion rights and that these cases are an enormous win for the reproductive rights community, hopefully this put that all in some context for you.
Hopefully it did. And hopefully you will join us next week for our next episode of Boom Lawyered. But we are going to wrap this one up right now. Please, please continue this conversation with us on Twitter. You can follow me at Angry Black Lady. You can follow Jess at Hegemommy, Hegemommy. And you can follow Rewire.news at Rewire_news. Thank you for listening. And we will see you on the tubes.
See you on the tubes. Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Jessica Mason-Piclo and Imani Gandhi. Our producer is Nora Hurley. This episode was produced by Mark Folletti, who is also our executive producer. And the Rewire.news editor-in-chief is Jody Jacobson.